with Rav David Miller. I made a deal with Rav Miller, Rav David Miller Shlita, who runs the Gross Kogel in Israel. I said to him, should I go? Should I not go? I wasn't sure. He says, if you came here for the year at Eretz Yisrael, I was learning in Gross, and you don't go to Meiron, then it was practically like you weren't here. So I said, okay, that was all you needed to say. There was nothing else that would be necessary to convince me. So I was going back and forth. Listen, I had, two kids at home. I didn't want to just leave them. We were in Israel for the year. And it was like a stressful decision to try to make. Do I go to Meiron? Do I not go to Meiron? And when I found that, I said to Rav Miller, I don't know how I'm going to get there. I'm not going to go on one of these buses to Meiron with all these other people. And I don't know. I was a little nervous about that. I'm the type of person that would get lost, and I'd be like that person that they'd be going to search for in Meiron. At the end of the day, be like, we lost one person. So I didn't want to be that guy. So I said, I need someone to hold my hand the whole way, mamish. So I said to Rav Miller, I said, can I come with you? How are you getting there? So he said, let me look into it. I don't know if there are any spots left. There was a spot. It was a costly spot, but it was worth every penny of it. We went on a trip with Rav Miller to Meiron, and we had the whole thing planned out. We left late at night instead of going in the morning, whatever. We missed all the crowds. I mean, not really, because you're around a million people there, but you missed all the crowds in the sense of the traffic was a lot, but you slept through the night and we got there at 3 a.m. as opposed to getting there earlier and then being there all night. Got there at 3 a.m. And I remember it was yesterday. I was like, I don't want to get lost here. There are too many other things going on. I literally watched Rav Miller and I walked behind him step by step until he got me to the actual outside of the kever. And again, I'm not this type of person. I was like, oh, I'm going to go run through Rishon Vayechai's kever. I didn't understand what it was. And I was actually trying to figure out what was the whole thing? What was going on there? What came out of it for me? Pause on the story. Hopefully at the end I'll come back to what I learned from the moment. Because it was actually one of those experiential learnings. Everyone says, oh, experiential learning, it's a wonderful thing. This was experiential learning par excellence, because I didn't know idea what I was getting myself into, and it was an incredible experience. So we have to think of Rav Shimon ben Chaya. There will be a lot of disjointed points here, but they'll all come together at the end, so they won't be disjointed after all. Rav Shimon ben Chaya represents in so many ways an idealistic position of this world. He wasn't just someone who spoke, talked the talk. He walked the walk, so to speak, in every single way. What do I mean by this? Let's go back to who Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was. He learned by Rabbi Akiva, but when did he learn by Rabbi Akiva? So the Gemara, I'll read you the Gemara, it's I'm just opening the page. The Gemara in Yevamos, Mechbeiz HaMebeiz. So this is the Gemara that talks about the experience of what we were just experiencing all of Sri Asa Omer. Sri Asa Omer used to be Yimei Simcha. They were days of holiday. They were mamish unbelievable days. When the Sefer HaChinuch says that the days of Sri Asa Omer were intended to be Chol HaMoed between Pesach and Shavuos, it wasn't this is a nice Chol HaMoed idea that it's a connection. No, it was actually a Yontif. The Yimei Simcha, it was Yimei Simcha. Why also was Yimei Simcha? Because so many people were harvesting their fields at that time. So they were finally seeing the produce that they would put so much time and energy into. They were seeing the investment that they put into it, and it was incredible. They were days of happiness, so happy. If I came to you, right before I told you this, and asked you, what is Sefiras Omer? What are these days of Sefiras Omer? I can guarantee that somewhere in the first five words, you would have said, Avelos, mourning. Can't cut my hair, something like that, right? There are restrictions. They're not in a simcha anymore. So what happened? So we know at the very origin of this whole story, this Gemara tells us a story. Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, 24,000 Talmidim passed away. They passed away from a magefa. They passed away from a major illness that took place because they didn't give kavod to each other. Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim didn't give kavod to each other. Understand, this is the man that we all grew up on. I don't know, maybe I'm dating myself, but V'yahavta, you know, that's, you know, was that your bat mitzvah still? Or no, It was at Bar Mitzvah's Mali, I don't know, whatever. That was like the song. Everyone's Bar Mitzvah had that song. By the end of that year, oh, thank you, Hannah Weinberg, I appreciate the thumbs up. Yeah, that song was at every Bar Mitzvah. By the end of that year, it was dead. No one wanted to hear that song anymore. That was it. But half of the Reich Kamocha, though, was that Klal Gadol B'Torah, we had to hear those words. That was Rabbi Akiva's mantra. How could it be that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim didn't get Nasnu Kabbal Zazah? What an incredible question to be asking. Incredible question to be thinking about as we're working on ourselves during these Yimei Sfiras HaOmer, that we should be just as much working, if not more so working on, Ben Adol L'Chaveiro. What does it mean to Nasnu Kabbal Zazah, especially at a time when we're not actually together? What can we be doing Nasnu Kabbal Zazah? Put that on the side for a second. So after those 24 Talmud, 1,000 Talmud, let's read anything. So, let me see if I can share it with you, actually. Can I share it with you? Can you guys see this? Everyone see? Can you see? Can you see? Give me like a thumbs up, you can see? Yeah, oh, wow. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amazing. So the Gemara says over here, I just lost my place. Yeah. Amru Shne, right, here we go. Amru Shne Masar Elef Zugim Talmidim Hayulad Rabbi Akiva. Megiva al Antiparas. From these places, there were 24,000 Talmidim, 12,000 Zugos, 12,000 Chavrusos. It's an incredible number. An incredible number. The Kulan Mesa we're talking about, I just want to point out who Rabbi Akiva was. Not only was he the Atlevei Chamocha, Rabbi Akiva didn't know an ounce of Torah until he was 40 years old. I don't know about any of you. I don't think any of us are 40 years old here. And if anyone is 40 years old, nothing against you. But you know Torah before you're 40 years old. That means you've got a head over where Rabbi Akiva was at your age. I just want to point that out right now. I want to point that out right now. Rabbi Akiva knew zilch at your age. The Kulan Mesu, and then he built himself up to be a massive Gaon, one of the greatest Gaonim. In fact, we have a Gemara that tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was going up to the Olam Marom. He went up to the Ribono Shel Olam and he said, you know, why are you putting these Ketarim, why are you putting these crowns on top of each of every letter? And the Ribono Shel Olam says to him, no, there's going to be a person named Akiva ben Yosef one day who's going to teach many, many halachos, many dinim from these little Ketarim, from the little crowns on the letters. If you know, inside the Sefer Torah, there are little crowns on top of some of the letters. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand why you need the crowns. The Torah was perfect as it is. Why do you need the crowns for? What do you need extra crowns? Who's causing you to have to put crowns in here? And the Moshe Rabbeinu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know who it is? It's Rabbi Akiva. Go and see. And he puts him like Back to the Future style in Rabbi Akiva's class. And he had to sit in the back of Rabbi Akiva's class. Imagine this, Moshe Rabbeinu. In the back of the class meant that you were the less likely to understand students. That's just the way it worked. Anyone here going into education don't recommend that you put the least likely to succeed students in the back, but this was the method. And Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting back there and he's learning, and Gemara literally says, he didn't know what was going on. He didn't understand. He didn't understand what Rabbi Akiva was teaching. And he lost in the Yashad Daito. And he was like, what's going on here? I'm sitting here for 40 days, 40 nights, multiple times with the Ribono Shel Olam to get the Torah, and I don't understand what Rabbi Akiva's teaching? And he's the reason that they have Torah on the thing? Like, who am I? Who am I? So the Gemara continues and says, Moshe, this is not this Gemara, another Gemara I'm telling you right now. And the Gemara continues and says, Moshe was Nesiasha Daito. He didn't understand what's going on. Until one of the Talmidim says, Rabbi Akiva, where did you get that din from? And he says, oh, that's a halacha. Over the next two words, Ahalacha leMoshe miSinai. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu said, oh, okay, now I could be calm again. And there's a lot of questions in that. We're not going to get into that Gemara. But this is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva gave shir, and Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand. That's incredible. This is Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim. 24,000 Talmidim. Unfortunately, after Yom Kippur War, I know that the Rashi Yeshiva at Gush, for example, and many other Rashi Yeshiva in the world who felt, especially in Eretz Yisrael, whose Talmidim went into battle and never came back. And they never were able to let that go. We're talking about 5, maybe 10. Every precious life is 24,000. You can imagine what was going on in Rabbi Akiva's mind. He gave up his life for this. He literally left his wife for years to go and learn Torah. For years. He was just sitting and learning Torah for 40 years old. He built himself up to be Rabbi Akiva. 24,000 of Tamidim die. What's going on? The Perek Echot, Mipnei Shaloi Nagu Zekabu Zekosa. Olam Shamein. Says Rashi, Olam Shamein. What does the Olam Shamein mean? Rashi says, Shemishkach HaTorah. The Torah was gone. The Torah was gone. That time period when you 24,000 Talmidim is not just the loss of the life. It's the loss of the life plus all the Torah that they would have been able to share down in the Masorah. All the Torah they could have shared down for the generation. Right? Praise that Krohn told the story. I quoted this recently about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I'm pretty sure, who was giving a shir to two or three Talmidim one day because the shir was like not there, whatever. I don't know, that wasn't senior ditch day. Don't worry. But something was going on and there were two or three Talmidim in the room. And it was preparing in order to give shir. And someone came over and said, what are you preparing so much for? You have two or three Talmidim in the room. What do you need to be preparing so much for? And he said, no, I'm not teaching two or three Talmidim. I'm teaching thousands of Talmidim. Thousands of Talmidim. Said, what do you mean? There are two or three people in this room. There are no thousands of people here. I'm a little nervous about you, Rebbe. He said, no. It's two or three people. Two or three people learning Torah now, in three or four generations, is 1,000 people. 1,000 people being Shomer Torah and Mitzvahs. Just in case you're wondering whether or not it's worthwhile to make that extra phone call, spend an extra 5 minutes to inspire someone, seems like it's a worthwhile endeavor. Getting back to here, Nishtach Torah. Imagine this is two people in the room, could be thousands of people he's talking to. 24,000 people, my God. And these were the people who were learning for Rabbi Akiva. Moshe Rabbeinu could understand. They understood. Shashach HaTorah. They forgot the Torah. Ha'olim Shamim. The world was desolate. Ad. And this ad is like an incredible ad. This ad is like the most inspiring ad that I think I've ever read. I think in any text, anywhere. Ad. Ad Sheba. Until Rabbi Akiva came back. Had Shapo Rabbi Akiva Eitzel Rabbi Seinu Shibadarim, Shana Lachem Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, that's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammah, the Haim Haim Midu Teira, Ha'olam Shamim, because Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim themselves died, and Rabbi Akiva came back, and Rabbi Akiva said, I'm going to continue this, I'm going to learn again, and he found the Talmidim he needed, Shibadarim. And these Talmidim, he taught it all to. These are the Talmidim that we're so used to seeing, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammah, these are the names that we know. Rabbi Akiva said, I can't live in a world ha'olim shamim. And he watched it go shamim, day by day, during this exact period of time, from Pesach, right? So where Osa Shah, right? Tana Kulam, Meisu b'Pesach HaTzeres. Gemara says, well, what was that Osa Shah? When did that happen? From Pesach HaTzeres. This is the time period. So the first thing I want to say is that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai represents, not only does he represent, let's stop the share here, one second, I'm going to stop share. Not only does he represent who he was, and we'll get to him in a second, he represents the next generation, the phoenix, so to speak, of the Jewish people. The ability of the Jewish people to be able to say from the ashes, and so many times throughout Jewish history have we had ashes. Have we had too many ashes, too many down spots, too many difficulties, crusades, the expulsions, the pogroms, the massacres, the Holocaust. It piles up upon itself. And yet, we have had Rabbi Akiva's, and we have Rabbi Akiva as an inspiration throughout every generation, every single generation, to say, that's something that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, on the Kevin, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which is where I danced that entire night, that this Torah will not be forgotten from your children. It's incredible. The story, that story alone is worthwhile spending an hour and a half on, maybe 5 hours. What an incredible story. the ability of individuals to say, I'm going to look straight at difficulty and I'm going to stand up afterwards. I'm going to say, you know what's worthwhile? It's worthwhile to go back to Torah and to bring Torah back into our lives and bring Torah back into the lives of our children and their children and their children after them. Because the Torah, that's what we need to be doing. We need to pass this Masorah one by one. Rabbi Akiva started with drops of water on a rock. And he taught 24,000 Talmidim. And they all gone. They all were gone. And he got another bunch of Talmidim, and he said, I'm going to teach you. And those are the Talmidim that we know. Those are the Baalei Torah that we know. That they brought, came, be the Torah, they brought the Torah back to the world. They brought the Torah back to the world. So I started by saying that Rabbi Yishim Bar Yochai was one of the most idealistic personalities in the Torah world. There's a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochai, and Rabbi Yishma about how each and every one of us should be engaged in this world. You probably know this machlokas. If you don't know this machlokas, it's worthwhile to look into. Says, don't let the Torah leave your mouth. What does that mean? Right? So what does Rabbi Shmuel say? Oh, because it says, you should go and collect the ganecha, your grains in the field. Oh, we live a life that is engaged both in the field as well as in the world of Torah. Rabbi Shmuel's shita essentially is that you go out and harvest your field, you work hard in the field, you go make a living, so to speak. And then afterwards, you come back from the field and you can learn Torah. And how many of our lives are literally based on this idea? I mean, our entire college experience is based on this idea, after all. To go and engage both in our work to be able to make a living, engage in building the world, engage in constructive building of this world, having impact on this world, and secondarily, but more really primarily, learning Torah. So I find time to learn Torah in the morning before going to work, find time to learn Torah in the afternoon after when I come back home, I find time to learn Torah with my kids, I find to learn a night Seder. That's what it means. That's what Yisrael means. And unfortunately, too many people have said, that's the derech I'll go, but unfortunately, I couldn't make it to this part and that. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says something incredible. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says like this, Omer, Efsha Adam Chayresh B'Sha'as Charisha V'Zoreya B'Sha'as Zariya V'Koytza B'Sha'as Ktsida V'Dash B'Sha'as Disha V'Zoreya B'Sha'as Aruach Torah Matei Aleha. If every one of these things, these actions that are necessary to go and make a living, so to speak, outside in the field, all of these things to make sure that our fields are set up for success, if I need to plant at a certain time, I need to thresh at a certain time, I need to harvest at a certain time, I need to plow the land at a certain time, there's always going to be a time for doing something. There's always a way of filling my day with something. Says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you know what this teaches me? I have to be cool, Lola Hashem. I have to be cool, Hashem. I need to learn entirely. I can't possibly. Go and do work. And this is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's teaching, but he didn't just preach it. He walked the walk. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we know, went into the cave. Now he went into the cave because he said something very truth. He spoke truth to power. Again, the idealism is striking. Speaks, I think, to actually the age group of being in a college atmosphere. Being idealistic about the world. How many times have you yourselves in your lives been told, okay, when you grow up, you'll recognize, you know, just give it a couple of years to when you get experience and this, like, just not right. How many times have you been told, just lay it off on the idealism? Oh, that idealism is so sweet. Just give it a couple of years, right? And maybe you're already feeling that way. You've already lost the idealism. Chas v'chalila, I'd be terrible. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was idealistic in every sense of the word. He said, what you have to do is go learn Torah and rely on the Ribono Shel Olam. Rely on God to be able to provide. What do you mean you're going to go and work? You're always going to find something to do. And by the way, how true is what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said? How many people do we find say, you know what, if I just get this deal, then I'll be able to go and learn this shiur. And if I get that deal, I'll be able to go and learn this shiur. Each and every one of us knows people, unfortunately, that have engaged so much in the quote-unquote their professions, they lost themselves and lost their ability to go and learn Torah. So Rabbi Shimon is true in some sense. But the Gemara understands that idealism is not necessarily the way of the world. It can't be for the Am. Not only can't be the Am, the Gemara itself says, many people. By Harbi Asu ki Rabbi Shmuel, I'm sorry, the Al Sabi Yodan. This is later on in that same Gemara. Ki Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Al Sabi Yodan. Many people have tried to do like Rabbi Shmuel said, and do part and part, and they've been capable of it. Not everybody, but many people have been capable of it. If you really work hard at it, and you make sure that you're living a life that is engaged in both, that you're putting your commitments where the commitments better be laid, where the Torah is the center of our lives, many people have. But many people have tried Rabbi Shimon's part, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's attempt, and they were unsuccessful. They were unsuccessful. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was not one of those people. He clearly was successful. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was capable. The Gemara tells amazing stories of it. Even when he was in the, initially he went into the to hiding from the Romans because he spoke truth to power. What did he say? All of his friends were either saying being quiet or they were praising the Romans for all the wonderful things that they put into this world. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, no, they didn't do these wonderful things for the world. They did it for themselves and for their terrible habits. They built the bathhouses to be able to prepare for the Zonos, and they prepared for this. That's what he said, very clear, truth to power. And they came after him. They heard about it, and the Romans came after him to kill him. And he had to run away. And initially, his wife was able to bring him food. You know, he went with his son, and his wife was able to bring him food, and then ultimately they tracked him down. And he had to run further. And at a certain point, he went into the Maharan. The Maharan that we all learned about. And the Rebbe Shlom helped him in that situation. Literally, what this tells us, this Gemara talks about, how we're capable of living a life totally subsumed in Torah, and the Rebbe Shlom will take care of us. But again, says the Gemara, many people have tried this, but were unsuccessful. But I want to share with you another Gemara that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is also the author of. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Afil lo kara adam ela kriyash mashachas v'arvis, Kayim lo yamush. That same pasuk, lo yamush Torah, same Torah as Emi Picha, where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai initially says means you have to constantly be engaged in Torah. He himself is the source to say, oh, as long as you learn in the morning and night, as long as you say Kriyat Shema in the morning and night, part of your davening, you yotze. How do you make sense of these two seemingly opposite positions? How do you make sense of a personality, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Shimon Bar Yochai came out initially, some say he was on Lag BaOmer itself, and he burnt up fields. He couldn't understand. He was such an idealist, he couldn't possibly understand how people were not idealists, how there was value in living a life that didn't include ideals. I remember as being someone who had been told that I need to learn what it means to be practical because idealism usually clouded my judgment. I remember having difficulty, dafka in my teenage years. Why? Because those are the years where you see things totally in black and white. I couldn't understand how someone could say that they were from, and also, the complexity of life wasn't clear to me. Because when someone looks at the world in the way that they think it ought to be, it's very hard to see it the way it is. It's very hard to see it as it is right now. Rabbi Shimon came out of that cave after being hidden away from the world and all the problems the world presented, literally learning Yom HaVelayla in the cave. And afterwards he comes out and he burnt up a field because he couldn't understand how people were not engaged in Torah. A year later he comes back out again and he's able to understand that the mitzvos, the actions of Klai Yisrael, are beloved to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, I think, in my opinion, represents, and I'll tell you what I learned when I went to Meiron in just a minute. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai represents, in no uncertain terms, is the idealism that each and every one of us needs, even if we're not going to be in the same boat. we need to have personalities in our lives that we can look to and say, that inspires me in this moment. I look up to that individual. I look up to this story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And I say, wow, that's incredible. Not because I'm going to go into a cave. Don't worry, I'm not going to a cave to go and learn in a cave with my son. Although it sounds very appealing in some ways, given the nature of the world right now. But I doubt that that's going to happen. I doubt it. But to know there was once a Jew who took the mantle from his Rebbe, from Rebbe Akiva, and he said, I'm not going to allow this to pass. I'm not allowing this to miss a whole generation. All of my colleagues, all of my peers, his entire generation was out. Imagine all the other names we would have seen in the Maamarei Chazal. They have such a limited capacity to see all those names because they all died. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, I'm not allowing this. I'm not allowing this Torah to not be passed down. I'm not allowing it. And even if it means our lives are not going to be Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's lives again, knowing there was once a man who gave up everything, just like his Rebbe, to say, I'm not allowing this to be missed. I'm going to engage in this to the fullest. Knowing there was a man like that is inspiring at the right moments. I used to teach a Jewish history course in MTA. When I taught the course at the end of the semester, I made the following argument. I said, we've gone through the ups and downs of Jewish history in this course. We've gone through the high moments and the low moments. We've gone through inspirational figures and disasters. We've hopefully seen how God's hand was involved in all of it. But I said, for each and every one of us to be sitting in the seats that we are in, whether we're in that time we were in America because it was specific, but I understand there might be other students on this call who are not from America, but I was talking to teenagers growing up in America at the time. And I said to them, and it's so true, I said, we have never been in a stage of Jewish history, not once, where more people had this much access to Torah and to engagement with the Ribono Shel Olam as we have today. Never, never before have we been capable of learning this much Torah in our lives. Never before have we had this much engagement in Torah, in Yerushalayim, in Chizuk. Never before. There are more Jews learning Torah today than ever before. And I dare say, and I want to point this out because we're learning all together. I think I'm the, although I just saw there was a young boy on the call. Welcome, welcome to, I think, Racheli's brother there. Shalom, shalom. I was going to say I was the only male, but thank you for being my co-male participant here. Appreciate it. I dare say there's never been a point in history, in Jewish history, that women had the capacity to learn the way that you did, that you do, and to have the zechus of learning in the way that you do, as you do today. The truth is, there's never been a time in history where men have had the access that they have in Limud Torah as they do today. I'm not necessarily saying that everyone's as great a Talmid Chacham as Rabbi Akiva was. That's not what I'm saying. But remember, Rabbi Akiva had 24,000, and when I went to the Siyum HaShas, when we were allowed to be together in person not too long ago, it's crazy to think about that was this year, January 1st, this year. It feels like it was mamish years ago. But when I went there to see how many people were Messiah Shas, and based on that same Gemara that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai initially said, oh, they're building their chariots and their highways and all their wonderful, their coliseums are all for their own benefit, for their own hana. The Gemara later says, you know what those things are ultimately going to be in the Yemos HaMashiach? They're going to be amphitheaters for Talmud Torah. All you had to see on the video screens at MetLife Stadium.
Talmud Torah, mamish, on their their amphitheater, the Colosseum, where they're going to play knocking each other with the football helmets and everything, and killing each other, mamish, just like the Colosseums, except this time there's no lions, and we're using them for Talmud Torah. Never before has been this much access to Talmud Torah. Never before. And I said to my Jewish history class in MTA, I said, we ended off with the Holocaust as the last unit. You know good well that your grandparents, and if it wasn't your grandparents, your grandparents' friends, or their brothers and their sisters, or your great-grandparents, what they sacrificed for us to be here. For us to be where we are right now. For us to be able to say, we live in a world in which I can log online and click a shiur to go listen to from Gedolei Torah from across the world. We live in a world in which we're confined into quarantine and yet we can still learn together. We live in a world where Sifrei Torah and Sfarim are printed en masse. There was once a time that they didn't have Gemaras in a base medrash, and it was not too long ago, 100 years ago, it was hard to find a whole Shas. I have them in my own personal set that didn't exist. So I looked at my class and I said, when the Jews of our ancestors, when our ancestors had the most difficult times, they gave up everything to pass that baton down to us. To pass that Mesorah down to us. To take the baton, and sometimes they had to crawl to get it to where we are. But they gave up everything for each and every one of us to be sitting here in peace and harmony. To be able to learn Torah without oppression, without Romans coming to run after us, without having to run into a cave. We should not be the ones that out of the freedom that they sacrificed for, that we put that baton down. No mic drops on this baton. Make that very clear. Don't drop that mic. Hold that. Hold on to it. And pass that baton down to the next generation. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai represents to me, and what it represented to me when I went and I danced with Am Yisrael, mamish, I literally danced with human beings I probably will never meet again in my life. And that was incredible. It was incredible. We danced for hours until from 3 o'clock until Toshkir. I danced nonstop until 6 a.m. when we davened by the kever. It was insane. Klal Yisrael together showing Rabbi Akiva that Kilosi Shachach, what he sacrificed, what he went into that cave and sacrificed from all the hanos of this world, and what so many other Jews throughout history did as the same. How many Jews do we know about who brought tefillin into the ghettos, into the shtetls, into... How many Jews gave up everything to not eat the food that they were given, only eat kashrus? How many Jews do we know about in our own parents, grandparents, who gave up their jobs on Shabbos and to find another job on Sunday because they had to keep Shabbos? Unheard of things today. Who has a challenge with keeping Shabbos with their job today? They get off early on Friday. It's Givaldik. The highest of firms, you get off early on Friday. 2 o'clock. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai teaches us, just like his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva teaches us, is that through the most difficult of times, in Rabbi Akiva's time was a plague, in Rabbi Shimon's time it was man-made forces against us. We've suffered from both. Unfortunately, right now, we're in the midst of a plague. We've suffered from both. But Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva teach us is that with our personal effort, with our personal sacrifice, like them, their own, Lo si shachach tayari pizara. That for each and every one of us, we should be zocha. That on this night ba'omer, we should learn a little extra Torah, i.e. what you've just done. You should learn a little bit extra. Why? Even though your semester is over and you're in finals, no. We can't let the baton go now. Rabbi Shimon gave too much of his own life. Our grandparents gave too much. Our great-great-great-great-grandparents gave too much. For us, in our freedom, bedavka, how ironic is it that this is the generation that's assimilating the most? That's going off the derech the most. We'll end with the following. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai has inspired, really, for me, what was most incredible about going to Meiron was not only that I danced with people that I'll never meet probably again, and they were doing it to prove to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and to the Ribono Shel Olam and to our grandparents that we're still here. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai represents also the sod, the secrets. He passed away on Rabbi Shimon. This is why this Elulah is on Lag BaOmer. He passed away on Lag BaOmer. How befitting is it? The sod of Torah, the sod of Torah was passed on through Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What that simply means, and without going into it, because I don't know too much about it, is that we know, just like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai showed us what human capacity looked like, to sacrifice for Torah, to make sure that we're passing the Torah on to generation to generation, it shows that even if I only get one tipa, one drop from this large yam that is Torah, my knowledge of the fact that there is so much sod, there's so much depth, there's so much stuff underneath everything that I do know of the Torah, there's so much down there, my knowledge of the fact that it exists, even if I don't understand it, again, is inspiring. Not in the sense that, oh my gosh, I have so much more to accomplish, I may as well not even cover this page. No. It means this could be a lifelong endeavor. A lifelong engagement with the Ribono Shel Olam. Because you know what would be really scary? Finishing. Completing the Torah. That would be a scary moment. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what the next day looks like? After all, we count up to day 50 for Sefiras HaOmer. Because you know what day zero looks like when we count down? I don't want to know. I've seen too many disastrous days in my own lifetime, in this world itself. And we've seen too many disastrous days throughout Jewish history to know what life looks like when it wasn't day zero. Can you imagine? A day without Torah? Impossible. The world wouldn't exist. Impossible. So for each and every one of us to at least know, even if we don't know Stitvei Sod, even if we don't know all the in-betweens of all the Zohars and the like, and even if we'll never know, don't give up hope, you may one day, but even if we'll never know, the fact that we know it exists is like the fact that we know that there was once a man named Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai who gave up everything so that we'd have Torah today. After all, the Olam Shamim did not become Heim Heim Shehemidu Talmud Torah Hemidu Torah Ba'olam, as we quoted in the very, very beginning. It didn't happen overnight. It required effort, it required devotion, and it required sacrifice. Which is exactly what we need to be doing. We need to find ways of bringing Torah into our lives, especially as we go into the summer, Sman of our lives. To find time, pick a project, focus on the things that the Torah can represent in our lives, and it doesn't only have to be Limud Torah, it could be Ma'is and Tovim. Chesed, Avodah, all of these things are part of a life of Torah. As we complete tonight, and as we go into the rest of Sefiras HaOmer, Mitzvah Hashem, I'll have some sort of haircut coming up soon. Everyone will be able to cut their hairs, and we'll end the Minhagei Avelus that we were mourning all those Talmidim. Because today represents the transitionary point. The transition from the difficult days, and even the days that we're in right now, difficult days, Mitzvah Hashem, will begin transitioning to becoming easier days. And days where we begin to see Heim Heim Ha'emidu Torah Ba'olam. We begin to see the end of an Olam Shamim. These are those days. As we get closer and closer to Shavuos and Matan Torah,
We need to know that they were Jews like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, like our grandparents. And we need to know that the Torah exists much more beyond the lines and the words that we have learned. To remind us that this is a lifelong endeavor for each and every one of us, and how much each and every one of us can do to make sure that Kilos Yishav Torah Mipizaro from our own children and our own grandchildren. Mirtz Hashem, we'll all be able to meet our great-grandchildren and see them being Shomrei Torah and Mitzvos as well. What a bracha that would be. What a bracha would be. They will look at Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and say, you inspired us, even if we didn't live the life that you had dictated as being Kulo Torah. You inspired us because you told us you can do something with your life. You can do something impressive with your life. You can devote yourself to something. Mirtz Hashem, just the knowledge that He existed, and the knowledge that there is Divrei Sod and Torah beyond our own means, should inspire us to constantly be striving, constantly be going upward, and constantly be going onward.